Listen. Listen. What are you listening for? That's the question. How are you able to determine the hour, the season, if you don't know what you're looking for, if you don't know what you're listening for? Let's take the trump as an example. What is it? What is that sound? Always take the etymology of the word and go back and use it in context with the subject and the object. And you will find that it will add more meat, more knowledge, and give you a better understanding of our Father's Word. I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to chapter 4 of the great book of Revelation. The etymology of the word trump kind of comes from clear, meaning a clear sound. Clear means it's crystal clear. And in as much as delivering a message, it should clearly deliver that message. So you can see how the etymology in that sense, in the Greek, to treble, you know, but yet still with clarity. Let's read that first verse of chapter 4. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. To you, that should always mean opportunity. If a door is open there, you're going to learn something if you listen. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me. Have you ever heard a trumpet talk? What are you listening for? Which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And of course, John was taken, if you would, to the Lord's Day, which is yet future from us, to be shown those things that would happen before and after that day. But there was that voice of the trumpet. So what trumpet are you listening for? The first, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, or the trumpet? Because the trumpet is the one that forewarns you in His Word as to how current events are arranged and aligning with biblical prophecy. Because let me tell you something. It's going to come to pass exactly as it's written. So, in listening, let's go a little further. God never leaves you without a type or an example of what the point He wishes to make. What did it mean, a trumpet, a voice like a trumpet? Let's go back to the beginning, Exodus, the coming out, because you're coming out into a new earth age here soon. And in that coming out, you must be aware of what it is that you are listening to. Remember this. God placed the people in captivity for 400 years. And to teach them a lesson, did it hurt them? No, they came out far richer after it was over with because God was in control than they were when they went in better condition. Why? Because supposedly they should have had a better and a closer walk with the voice. He actually hand-carried them, parted the sea, brought on the plagues. And of course, what was the day that finally deliverance came and the march began? It was what? Passover. The slaying of the lamb and the blood on the doorpost, which was a type of the Christ that is to come. Now, let's start. So you're all familiar with that. I want you to pick up and I want you to be very alert that we are on the 47th day after Passover. We're at this point, I'm going to pick up here in the fourth verse. I repeat, the 47th day after Passover. And verse 4 of chapter 19, I'm sorry, chapter 19, the book of Exodus. I'll give you just a second and then I'll begin reading in that verse 4. Again, we are 47 days after Passover. Let me just ask you a question. What comes on the 50th day after Passover? Pentecost. What happened on Pentecost? The Holy Spirit began to speak through the servants of God in every language of the world. So what voice was that? It was the voice of God coming through His people. So just so we have the time schedule set so that you understand the type that God is going to give you here of what's going to happen to you. Verse 4. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. You understand, many people fear. What are you afraid of? If you're serving God, He's going to bless you. He owns the whole world. And He carries you. It thrills Him to be able to carry you, to show you, to lead you, to direct you. You're His child. Every man wants his children to do well. So certainly if you're trying, it's no fluke. And Christianity is not a religion, it's a reality. It's a life. It's up to you. All right? He carries you. Verse 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey. Well, what does if mean? It's conditional. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. All the people are His. All the children are His. But He said, if you will obey it right to the letter, you'll be a peculiar, precious. Did they? Of course not. Nobody could obey His word to the letter. Therefore, the Passovers of Passovers was when Christ became our Passover. But this was still the covenant. Verse 6. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. What do priests do? They carry forth the voice. And an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. I don't have to tell you that the 10 tribes, which are known as the house of Israel, were taken north over the Caucasus Mountains, were later called Caucasians, scattered over Europe, many later Canada, America. They don't even know who they are today. They don't. Even though the covenant said they will become as numerous as the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. Does that make them any different in God's law? Not in freedom of choice. But there are certain duties that all people have to do. All people of the nations, by that I mean the ethnos, to lead, to guide their people. Because our own people listen to us sometimes when others want in following the voice. What voice? The voice of God, the trumpet. 7. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces, that's their foreheads, what's in their forehead? Their brain, their mind. All these words which the Lord commanded them. 8. And all the people answered together. Watch this and tell me what's new under the sun, beloved. Listen to them. All the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. You bet you we'll do it. We'll sign that contract. I mean, He owns everything. Why not? You know, He carries us. He protects us. But then there's always tomorrow, isn't there? Okay? Verse 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, why? And believe thee forever. If they hear me speaking directly to you, Moses, and they're not going to forget my voice, they're going to know of a certainty that it was I that stated the words. And Moses took the words, told the words of the people unto the Lord. Verse 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people, and sanctify them, sharpen up for me, sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Verse 11. And be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord shall come down in the sight of all the people up on Mount Sinai. Now stop and think for a moment. Let's do a little math here. If we started on the 47th day, and God has instructed what's going to happen these 3 days, what day does that bring us to? 50. Pentecost. 3 is a very interesting number in biblical numerics. Yes, it means the Godhead, and also the 3.5-year period. But also it has to do with the two witnesses. For when they die in the streets, in the same city in which Christ was crucified, as it is well written in the 11th chapter of Revelation, in exactly 3 days, God's voice is going to return on Pentecost Day. Now, this is a type. He can pick any day He wants. But this is a type set up for you so that you know exactly when you see that happen, you've got 3 days to sanctify yourself and to be ready. In other words, that is very prophetic. Now, verse 12. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. In other words, think for a moment in the millennium chapters, example, chapter 44, where only the Zadok can go near Emmanuel. They're the only ones that can touch him. That's just the way it is. Why? There must be a sanctification or a cleansing to make people worthy, or they're not going into His presence. Verse 13, there shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet, here we go, when the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And that same trumpet that we're reading of in Revelation chapter 4 is this trumpet. This trumpet is the voice of God, and I'll tell you beforehand, it's going to sound on Pentecost Day. Prophetically, making it very simple in the simplicity in which our Father teaches. So, let's drop back now. We're at the 47th day. Let's mark off the 3. Verse 14, and Moses went down from the mount of the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. 15, and he said unto the people, be ready against the 3rd day. Come not at your wives. In other words, when we see the two witnesses, as it is written in Revelation 11, you know it's 3 days until the big wedding. That's spiritual symbology. It means that all the virgins will be waiting for the true husband at his wedding. Thus, that comment. Verse 16. And it came to pass on the 3rd day in the morning. Now we're on Pentecost morning, the 50th day after Passover, that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Remember that 16th verse. It'll come up again in a moment in the New Testament. 17, and Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. What an awesome thing. Think about this. I mean, we're talking about human beings going out to meet with God. Not spiritually, but de facto, which is a type of the second advent, of course. They stood at the nether part of the mount. Boy, they're holding back. They're playing it safe. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. It shook. God has a way of shaking. I truly believe that on Pentecost Day in the year of our Lord, 1981, when Mount St. Helens erupted in that face in the clouds taken by a newspaper reporter, perfect face, the shaking was simply a warning, a wake-up call to those that have eyes to see and ears to hear. Not a fluke, not an accident. 19. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake and God answered by a voice. Do you know a trumpet when you hear one? Do you know what kind of trumpet is you're supposed to be listening for? Or do you hear the trumpet sounded all the time and perhaps you're not aware of it? It's the voice of God. This word is His voice. This word is the living word. It's not a dead word. It's a living word because prophecies, if you are experienced and are not biblically illiterate, you understand when those prophecies come to pass in this generation, yearly would be too long, monthly. Verse 20. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount. Moses went up. 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. Now, how sharp are you? God tests you at times. I want you to know that. God tells them one time, stay away from that mountain. Next time, says, hey, tell them preachers, priests, move on up in there. He's already told them what would happen if they did. But a priest is supposed to be able to understand what he's saying. Did Moses, verse 22, and let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. What did Moses say? 23, and Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. He knew. The priest we are speaking of here were not of Aaron, not of the priesthood of the Melchizedek appointed by God. Most of them were elders in the family even. Self-appointed preachers, self-appointed priests. And when they walked forward, pretending to be priests, you know what would happen to them. Well, God feels the same way about it. So, it's the point, my point, and I think our Father's point is this. Listen very carefully to our Father's voice. Father didn't try to deceive him there. He simply said, bring the priest. What would happen today if, let's just imagine, if we said, bring all the preachers to the mount, how many of them are truly serving God from their heart? Because if they weren't, you know what would happen to them? Hey, they're out of here. And it's not flying with butterfly wings either. My point is, be able to spiritually discern, because we're not playing church in this generation of the fig tree. Not playing church. And our Father does not play games. Does He have a sense of humor? You bet. He has a great sense of humor. In a sense, I can see a little sense of humor in that. Hey, let them suckers go on over there, they're priests. It won't hurt them. Only God decides who's really a priest and who isn't. Okay? So, analyze very carefully the word. Learn the parameters. That's why, as a teacher, gifted by the Holy Spirit, And I'm not trying to put anyone on a guilt trip, and I don't want you to shy back from planting seeds. All I'm saying is pay attention. to your Father's Word. Know His plan. Know the subject and the object and stick to that. It's called focus. And don't lose your focus. Don't let something or someone sidetrack you. Focus on the plan of God. What did God say? Verse 24. And the Lord said unto him, Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So he knew. And Moses used good judgment. Moses told the father, he said, Hey, they're not sanctified. 25, so Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. What? The sound of the trumpet. The voice of the trumpet. It's Pentecost Day. It's the same day that in Acts chapter 2 that all of the priests, the servants of God, begin to speak in that tongue that some people call an unknown tongue. Only you won't find the word unknown connected anywhere with it. It was the evidence of the presence of God within it through the Spirit that every language in the world could understand what those people were saying. Now, you can't fake that. And it was God speaking through them. And Peter would tell the bystanders, This is that was spoken of by Joel the prophet. And all you have to do is turn over to Joel to find out what they were saying on that day. What day? Pentecost Day. The day that we're at here and the words that God gave on the first Pentecost Day after that first Passover of the escape from bondage. Are you in bondage today? You shouldn't be. Christians are to be cut free, not tied down. We have more fun than anyone. We have a better life than most people. Yeah, but Christians can't enjoy sex. Don't believe that stuff. We enjoy sex better than anyone. We don't have to worry about our nose falling off next week. Listen to your father. Listen to your father. Okay? It's the best life in the world. And how He loves you when you try. What did God say on that Pentecost day? Chapter 20, verse 1. This is it. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, we've got the Ten Commandments here. Delivered on Pentecost Day, what is God concerned with? First rattle out of the box. The spurious Messiah is coming, the son of perdition. And with this world, basically biblically illiterate, they are being taught that they're going to fly out of here before this spurious Messiah appears. Only that's contrary to God's Word. That's why He made this the first commandment. Don't worship their gods. Don't worship the one that tried to play God in the beginning. That is to say, when Satan tried to take the mercy seat in Ezekiel 28, and he was cursed and fell from power, that covering cherub, Lucifer. God's jealous. He's coming back for a bride. And He doesn't want you already married to some spurious Messiah or find you in His bed, spiritually speaking. Verse 4, Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. Don't make you some little angel that you're going to worship. Doesn't mean you can't put a little pin on you of an angel. You're not going to worship it. You know what you're doing with it. But don't worship anything that is made from God's own creation rather worship God, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. That means nothing except God Himself. No substitutes. His word is enough. It's sufficient, because if you accept that word, He will bless you, your responsibilities. He will carry you. You will have what we would call the cream of the crop, your own pick. That doesn't mean you won't have a few problems, but boy, let me tell you something. Life would be boring without a few problems that you could take care of just like that with God's help. You become a can-do type person, not a poor me baby. Can-do type people. Verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down. Have you ever read Romans 11? All but 7,000 bowed down to the Antichrist. But it was so religious. I mean, they taught me to fly to save my soul. Ezekiel 13 says God hates that. People that teach people to fly to save their souls. Don't worry. You don't have to understand God's word. You're going to be gone. They don't even know what the trumpet sounds like. They don't know what to listen for. They don't know how to consume, inhale God's word, whereby they are spiritually, mentally, and physically prepared to be citizens of the kingdom. Can-do type people. Verse 5. Continuing. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. And He is. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now there are many people come, oh Lord, if I sin, it falls off on my children. You see, people lose their focus. Absolutely very difficult for some to even read today and concentrate, that is to say, focus on what they've read. What he's saying there, even if it was 1,000 generations, and there have not even been that many of them, God would still hate those that hate Him. The verb is the word hate. It doesn't matter how, I don't care how many children and generations, if they disobey God, He's still going to hate them until they repent and come out of it. There you have the message of Pentecost Day. That's what God said in that trumpet. You can call it the first trumpet if you want to. We'll be talking about more about trumpets in detail probably tomorrow. But how did, you know, the people, our people, human beings, they had observed the Red Sea parting. Moses raised forth that staff. Parted. They crossed over. They had been fed manna from heaven. I mean, God had, He put a pillar of fire there, and on their side it was light to guard them and keep them at night, and on Pharaoh's side it was one vicious storm. He had spoiled them rotten, in a sense. If you had seen something, you are believers and you are granted faith because you have not seen. They saw. They observed over and over and over. After this, after the mountain shook, do you know what they did? Is there anything new under the sun? Of course not. People are people. Skip on through the commandments down to verse 18. What about the people? And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. He didn't have to worry about anybody touching it. 19. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. could not stand the trumpet, could not stand the voice of God because of ignorance, of not having listened to the Word of God, to the voice, to the trumpet. That's what we listen for, is to know the hour, the time, the season when He intends that we hear by listening and observe by looking. How precious our Heavenly Father that He makes everything available to you if, there's that big old word again, two little old letters, I-F, if you listen. It's amazing. Yes, but Pastor Murray, you're back in the Old Testament. Well, God's the same yesterday, He is today, and He's going to be tomorrow. This earth age is going to pass, but this Word shall always be for the eternity. And these same words, only a little more in the futurist sense, are written in the New Testament. In closing, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. One of my favorite books. Paul writing a letter to Eber, the little children from across the river. As you're turning there to bring you up to date, this is where Paul, who spoke only colloquial Greek, he was not educated in Greek, he was educated in Hebrew. And he used colloquialism to the point that here he says, we're going to gather as a cloud of witnesses and we're going to run a foot race. All right? Same cloud he used in Thessalonians that a lot of people are going to fly away on. Figure of speech. All right? And he says, don't any of you start whimpering because none of you have shed blood like Christ did. And he also said, don't be like Cain. Verse 16, the Greek is that a male prostitute. Let's pick it up in verse 18, for whence we came here. 18 of Hebrews chapter 12. For ye are not, I want to repeat that. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burneth with fire, nor unto blackness, and darkness, and tempest. That's not for you. You don't have to worry about that. And the sound of a trumpet and a voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Now you hear that voice. But He loved us enough that He sent Emmanuel, who was the living voice among us on this earth. 20. For they could not endure that which was commanded. It's what the voice said. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. 21. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. That's why I told you to make a mental note of verse 16 in that 19th chapter. It frightened them. It even frightened old Moses, but he stayed hitched. All right. Just hooked right up there to the hitching post. He didn't run. Why? Well, we got people calling, oh, Lord, here comes the tribulation. Does it frighten you? The tribulation is for those that are outside of God. He's not mad at you. What would you be afraid for? Moses knew that. You don't have to worry about God hurting you. Tribulation is to our enemies, the biblically illiterate and the followers of the traditions of men. God loves His children. But ye are come, verse 22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God. Not a dead God, a living God. The heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. It's coming. It is coming. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Not on some church letter annual. Hey, that don't get you anything, friend. It's whether you're on in his, whether your letter is in his hand, then you're getting somewhere, all right? And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, just being Zadok in the Hebrew tongue. 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, thank our Father for that. Because you can abide by that covenant. You can. And to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Cain, who was the father of the Kenites that we still very much have with us to this day, shed the blood of his brother through jealousy and so forth. But Abel's blood didn't save us. Christ did. 25, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, that is to say, that voice on the mountain, Pentecost Day, the commandments, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. What does he speak? He gives us his plan. Do you know something? He loves you and he wants to take care of you. He wants you to have a really good life here on earth today. He wants you to find peace of mind. And quite frankly, when God is so good to us that He lets us know the future well enough that your investments and everything percolate for you. And you do real good if you focus on the trumpet, if you focus on the Word of God. It's the most valuable thing, that gift that He has ever given you, is the understanding of His voice. 26. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now He hath promised. He's done what? Promised. And you can count on it, friend. When God promises, it's set. Promised. Saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Friend, it's going to happen. He's going to shake it. There's a shaking coming. Not to you, but to those that are biblically illiterate. They will pay the price for their ignorance. God wrote them a letter to His child, and they won't even read it, much less try to understand it. Why? They don't love Him. Oh, but you don't understand. I'm a Christian, brother. You're fake. All you do is mouth words about our Father and you never do anything. Well, the preacher said, what did God say? That's what's important, not what some man says. This man or any other man. What the trumpet says. Which trumpet are you listening for? Will you know when you hear it? Or will you fade through seven and say, what happened? The voice of God was the trumpet that sounded in heaven. The voice of God was the trumpet that sounded on Mount Zion on Pentecost Day. And the voice of God, He promised, will sound at the second advent. How long? How long can we consider that? Witnesses, 3 days. You better get ready. You better be set. Prepared. How? You're doing it. You're doing it just right when you stay in His Word because you know what's going to happen. And again, He's not angry at you. But beloved, He has promised. Why is He going to shake it? God is a God of love. It has a very good reason. Okay, let's pick it up. Where were we there? Verse 27. And this word, what? God's voice. Yet once more signifieth, here's your subject and object, signifieth the removing, the sifting, if you would, the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, created, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Question. Can you be shaken? Or are you solid on the rock? Do you know God's voice? This word, this voice. You don't have to be afraid of anything. You don't have to worry about the traditions of men. Because your wisdom, when you absorb in your face or forehead, meaning your brain, the wisdom of God, as much as you can, it's impossible for us to totally absorb what He has done, what He knows. But He has told us exactly what we need to know for this hour, Pentecost Day. Now, I've already closed my Bible, but I will quote the last verse. For God is a consuming fire. That's the fire that's on the mount. Are you afraid of God? I pray not. I hope that you love Him. I hope you come under that wing, because His fire is the Shekinah glory that warms your heart and burns the biblically illiterate, those that follow, those that don't care. Well, praise God for the millennium. These 3 days, mark them well. God spoke it. God promised it. When Revelation chapter 11 comes into focus, you be focused also. What an exciting time to live. What an exciting time to be a servant of God. In this generation, when the fig tree was established in the year of our Lord, 1948, back in Jerusalem, both the good and the bad fig, and how God's truth pours forth. And my friends, quite frankly, we are without excuse, because He has given us the voice, the trumpet. Which one are you listening to? Which one are you listening for? Which one are we in now? Well, we'll talk about that more in another lecture a little further along. But never forget, 50 days after Passover comes the voice of God. What a time to live. Will He speak to you this Passover? He will if you'll listen. Listen to the trump. All you have to do is read His Word and meditate. To meditate means to absorb that you think you may already know and put it through your system up here again. And then realize how little you do know, regardless of how much you think you might know. God knows more than we, and He will always, if you meditate. Now, I'm not talking about somebody going out here and crossing their legs and weeing around and going off on some spiritual trip, all right? You know me better than that. I mean study and use common sense, because God, when He created this earth, is more natural than you. He understands you. Meditate on the words He has spoken, where that you're not surprised when the trump begins to sound again, because it shall. All right, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for the Word. Thank You, Father, for the trumpet. Father, be with us this day. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.